Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. It's Thursday, so you know where we are. Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4949 Almond School. That is Almond School in Chandler Heights, locally in Chandler. Hopefully, everyone is having a fantastic Thursday. Kickoff of the NFL week is today, and a barn burner of a game they have scheduled tonight. The Bears and the Packers. Give you my pick on that game as well as the other games. Try to stay awake. I will say this. Give you a teaser on this game real quick before we get into everything else and get all the statements out and open and give you everything I'm getting into today. If you promised your wife you'd take her to dinner, tonight's the night. If you promised your kids you'd help them with homework, tonight is the night. Do anything you can, and this is coming from a Bears fan. Do not watch this travesty that will happen in front of your eyes tonight. These teams are garbage, god-awful. Fulfill every promise you have to your wife tonight. She will love you. She'll say, isn't there a game on? You say, yeah, but you're more important. Do whatever you got to do. Get out of watching this game. Other things we're going to talk about today. Michigan football, Jim Harbaugh. I have an interesting one on this one. You guys might like it. You might not. Talk about the I know it's early in the season, but I got to talk about the Suns. They eked one out last night against my beloved Bulls. No, I'm not Switzerland when it comes to the Bulls. That is my team. They eked one out. Today is the positive thing I saw and the things that I thought they really are going to have to work on and shore up to be the team that I thought they would be this year. And if you're a Cardinals fan, Kyler is back this week. Good, bad, and different. And I have a trade for the Cardinals that I think would work with Kyler. It's just a matter of if they're going to do it or not. So those are the things on the docket today, along with a couple other things that we'll get into. They're the side topics, as you know. We'll knock that out as well. But like I said, everyone, this is the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. And first up today, Jim Harbaugh and cheating. Okay, so have you ever been popular at anything or really good at anything in your life? And no matter what you do, no matter how it goes, no matter how prickly you could be, no matter how nice you could be, everyone that does what you do, they just don't like you because you can be a little prickly, because you could be not the nice person. Well, that's Jim Harbaugh. He's a prickly dude. Not the nicest dude. He doesn't like everybody. He doesn't give you bro hugs every time he sees you as a coach. And He is being accused of doing something, which if it's out of rules, I get it. Don't get me wrong. Follow whatever rules that are there. But you can't tell me that other coaches aren't smart enough to steal signs that are being held up in front of 60,000 people. So let me see if I can put this into my general perspective. I'm holding up a picture of a panda, a cheetah, and an owl. And every time the owl is on the left, I run. Every time the owl is on the right, I pass. Every time the owl is in the middle, I run left. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. So I guess you're not allowed, air quotes, to send someone to the game to watch you hold up fake signs to get a trend of what's going on. Something that you can't see by watching the tape of the game. Now, maybe I'm making this too simplistic, and maybe it's more to it than that, and maybe I should be a little bit more, that's wrong, but I don't believe he is the only one that's doing this or that has done this, and I can't believe, in all honesty, could it be possible that he didn't even know? There could be an overzealous assistant that's doing good stuff, taking it to another assistant, then giving him the information, and then he's using that? Is that possible? Is it possible that here's a guy that's just feeding up information so he could go from super fan to employee to a possible bigger role with the team? Is that possible? Yes. So why doesn't the Big Ten do an investigation, crazy thing, an investigation, find all the facts, and then find if you're going to suspend or not, make that determination after you gather all of the facts. Not willy-nilly because Ryan Day is upset because he thinks he's stole signals. This guy's upset, Franklin up at Penn State, because he thinks he stole all the signals. Let me go ahead and let's just be honest and tell the truth. Michigan does not need to signal steal to beat Purdue, Indiana, Illinois, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and just about every other Big Ten school that I left out that's not Penn State or Ohio State. So maybe they beat them by 40 instead of 38. He is not stealing signals to beat Purdue. When I heard Purdue saying, guys from Purdue saying, oh, he's doing this to beat us. No, they're not, dude. Purdue, you play basketball. You don't play football. Yes, you had Drew Brees. Great. He's been gone for 30 years. Other thing that I don't get, and this is coming from someone who is a credentialed media member. I can't just show up at the stadium in ASU gear, put on a hat, glasses, and a fake mustache, and find my way onto the sidelines. To get a credential, let me kind of tell you what you have to go through to get a credential in college football or college sports. You got to send in an email to the SID. After you send that email in, they approve or deny your credential. Let's just say it's approved. I'm going to walk you through the process. After it gets approved, you have to show up at the arena, or if you're from a big station, they send someone over, there needs to be a copy of your ID. Copies of IDs, last time I checked, had your face on them, and the name on the credential had to match the name on the ID. So if you go by, if your full name is Heathcliff, you can't just say Cliff until they get to know you. So Heathcliff is going on your credential as well, because that matches your driver's license. Then after you do that, you put your ID on. When you then get to the game, you go through security because you have extra stuff that normal fans don't have. You probably have a backpack or a bag to put your laptop in or your camera or your whatever. So then you have to go through a more stringent security. So they're looking at your face and at the badge. I'm sure if you walked up with sunglasses, a fake mustache, and your hat pulled down, they're going to check and ask you to remove your glasses, ask you to remove your hat, so you can go through the metal detector. You got to go through all that. You can't Bobby Valentine your way into a stadium. So once you do all that, there's two type of credentials that you get. You either get all access, which means you can roam everywhere from the press room to the locker room to the field, or you get a press box pass, which leaves you in the press box, or you get a field pass. If you have a field pass, not only, and this goes for the media room too, they recheck your credential when you go on the field. You hold it up, security guard looks at you, looks at your pass. If you are wearing a fake mustache, sunglasses, and a hat, they're going to ask you to remove it. So when there's another school, Western Michigan, Central Michigan, Eastern Michigan, whichever directional Michigan you want, says they had no idea how he got there, they're lying and they're idiots, because if their security is that weak, they have other issues. You know who's on your sideline at all times. And you don't get that close to coaches, coordinators, and players unless you are who you say you are on that credential pass with your face on it. So I'm hard-pressed to believe Eastern, Central, Northwest Michigan when they say they have no idea how he's got there. If that's the case, your security should be fired, your SID should be fired, and everybody else should be fired, because that's the problem. If you're a coordinator and a guy standing next to you with sunglasses and a hat that you've never seen before, something might tell you, I don't know who this is, but they have security come and get him. So I'm not buying that part of the story at all. At all. I'm more convinced if you tell me he's sitting in the stands with some binoculars stealing your signals than dressing up as a Western Central Northeastern Side State Michigan football person standing there. Someone had to let him on the field. There's no other way. Because he didn't sneak on. And if you look at the picture or the video, he's wearing an authentic credential. So unless this is NCIS New Orleans, only off the guy that should have been there, and I haven't heard of any bodies being found, he got that the legal way. Now let's fast forward to the suspension or the possible suspension. As of this time, nothing's been mentioned about what's going to happen about Harbaugh. The NCAA is already pissing in a cup because they're mad that he didn't take the suspension that they wanted to give him to begin with, and he self-imposed a 3-game. The NCAA does not like when you show them up for stupid stuff, I don't know, like buying a kid a sandwich. And even though they say, oh, well, it's more than a sandwich, no, it isn't, because you have antiquated rules, which doesn't work. And when you finally get sued and caught with your pants down, we get NIL deals, and now you want to regulate those. We got a whole bunch of people in Congress crying about how football isn't the same when the athletes get paid and blah, 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 whatever. Don't miss me with that, too. I'm sure maybe it's just me and our country. Maybe our Congress could find other shit to do instead of talking about college kids getting paid. But maybe that's just me. But anyway, back to the thing. The NCAA is never happy when you show them up. So now they're going to nitpick every single thing you do until they can finally catch you on something. If you don't believe me, just Google Jerry Tarkanian. They will keep looking until they find something. So now this is the new BS they're bringing up. And by NCAA rules, which is the one thing they always want to throw in your face, there has to be a complete investigation before punishment is handed out. There is no complete investigation because Michigan has not even been questioned as of yet. We all know that in every other NCAA violation, it takes anywhere from 1 year to 3 years for them to come to a conclusion to finally then give out their punishment. But they can do Jim Harbaugh in 2 weeks, and they're accepting of what the Big Ten wants to do? Okay. Now, Big Ten, it's your turn. What do you gain by suspending Michigan? They're your best. They're going to bring money into your conference, which is going to fund field hockey, synchronized swimming, ballet dancing competitively, and all that other crap. What it says to me, outside looking in, is the person that's carried your water for the last 15 years, Ohio State, and if we're truthful, Ohio State's been the best football team in that conference for a lot of years. You don't want to piss them off. You don't want to piss them off because what if Jim leaves next year and goes to the pros? Michigan goes back to being Michigan. 10-win team that never really competes. You still want to make Ohio State happy. Wonder who blew the whistle. Let me guess. Could it be Ohio State? Could it have been them? So you're going to piss off and crap on the money that you're going to get to make one team happy. Makes no sense. Take the money. Let them play each other. Let them settle on the field. You have all year to dole out the punishment for Jim Harbaugh if he's found guilty, if the investigation says that. You cannot do some quick, this is what we're going to do, this is what we initially found. I hope Michigan sues. I hope they have a stay put in place that would stop that until the investigation is completely done. That's supposed to be the way you handle it. Any allegation in football. With that being said, I hope Michigan wins them all. I'm not even a Michigan fan, but I hope they win them all. I hope they end up in the playoffs. I hope they go deep in the playoffs. I hope they're in a championship game, and I hope the Big Ten has to begrudgingly bite their tongue with all this bad stuff and begrudgingly take the money that Michigan will give that conference. I'll tell you this, Big Ten, I challenge you to this. I'll make a deal with you. I will not talk about this ever again. If Michigan goes on and wins a championship, you find out Jim Harbaugh cheated and you give all the money back that that you'll get from your bowl game. You do that, I'm like, you know what? You're absolutely right. Athletics comes second to being a stalwart citizen and everything else that comes along with it. Until you give money back, get out of here with that nonsense. Coming up, we're going to talk about Kyler coming back to the Cardinals this week and what that means for them. This is PLR. This is the Cave Show coming to you live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
Don't just smoke your cigar. Enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School and Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend, and I said, "Hey, shut up, because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR.
Back to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Make sure you're following us on the X. I got it right that time. Facebook and Instagram at the Sports Cave, of course. Cave is with a K. Like I said, we're coming to you live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. And I failed to mention this. I apologize. If you mention the Cave Show, Sports Cave, PLR, you get 10% off of your cigar purchase. So once again, I am your walking coupon. Just mention PLR, Cave Show, or the Sports Cave. Cave is with the K, and you will get 10% off of your cigar purchase. So is it good news or is it bad news that Kyler is coming back to the Cardinals this week? As of right now, the Cardinals hold the number one draft pick in the NFL because they're not a good football team. Kyler, on the other hand, is a good football player. He is good for at least two victories. The Cardinals have no choice. They got to showcase him. They got to show that he's back healthy if they want to get any type of trade value for him whatsoever, and if they want to move in a different direction. There are a bunch of quarterbacks in this draft. Here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you that where I think he should go if he's traded, but I'm going to say something completely different. I think the Cardinals should keep Kyler Murray. I do not think that they should trade him. And here's why. Kyler came to an organization that was absolutely god-awful terrible. Absolutely god-awful terrible GM in time. Absolutely god-awful coach in Cliff Kingsbury. And he managed to lead that team from non-playoffs to playoffs to an incredible start a couple of years ago when he was actually really healthy. And that's the type of quarterback you want to give up on for someone with potential? You can't just give up on a quarterback that you know that can play at this level. And then what do we hear? Well, he makes too much money. He still has $150 million guaranteed. If we can get off of that, do you realize in terms of guaranteed money, Kyler is number seven in the NFL? He doesn't have that Deshaun Watson contract at 230. 150 is left to him. That's manageable. The Cardinals need more than just, well, we'll start over and reset the clock. They're kind of past that, but at the same time, I understand when people say, well, if you trade him, you'll get more assets, but will you? It's at this point right now, is Kyler worth three number ones, two number ones and two number twos? See, I don't think the Cardinals would get that much for him. Not because he's not that good, but when you give up three number ones, we see what can happen. If you don't believe me, see Denver. You got to be careful when you give up those type of picks, and I don't know if they could get that. Also, you have to look at who they would trade him to. Let's say they get three number ones, and they trade him to a team that's halfway decent. They're not going to have a high pick. Cardinals can sit where they are and get a quarterback if that's what they so choose to do. So why would you move? Why would you trade him when you have no opportunity to really move up? The teams that they could trade him to that would need a quarterback, New England, we all know that's not happening. Tennessee, we all know that's not happening. They're going to see what happens with Will Levis. New York, why would they move when they're going to have a good pick and could get a young quarterback that's going to be more cost effective, and they have a quarterback on the roster that those idiots gave a bunch of money to. So they're not going to pay another quarterback, and nobody's trading for Daniel Jones. The Chicago Bears, they're not going to trade for a quarterback because where they are right now, they have Carolina's number one pick who don't need a quarterback because they just drafted a quarterback, and we don't know if he can play yet because they have no pieces around him. They basically have Michael Jackson with no band and no Tito. They have nothing. So that's not a trade partner. Atlanta, okay. Who do you want from Atlanta? And better question, let's say you trade him to Atlanta. Atlanta has an outside chance to make the playoffs. Again, bad pick. Keep him. Do something different than what Khan did. I don't know. Crazy. Draft offensive lineman. I don't know. Crazy. Get a playmaking wide receiver. I don't know. Crazy. Get an edge rusher. Use your pick for something that makes sense. You're obviously not going to get a good pick from the Texans because they have a quarterback that works. So you have spots where you can help Kyler get better and be better. Remember, this guy led you to the playoffs. Let's take our chance and do this over the last, I don't know, 30 years and play a game called Name the Quarterbacks That Led the Cardinals to the Playoffs. Who comes to mind first? Obviously, Kyler, Kurt Warner, Palmer, Jake Plummer. Go ahead, name me the rest. I'll wait. Got 30 more minutes in the show. Tell me if you come up with one more that led them to the playoffs. You can't because they didn't. So you have a quarterback that is taking you to the playoffs, but you want to get rid of him because he plays Fortnite too much? Because he likes video games? Because all of a sudden, we want to put in and publicize that he has to study more? Work with the young man. Work with the young man. You know what he's like. You know he's good. He can make all the throws, and he can escape pressure from a line that Kime never built. Listen, guys, we keep blaming the wrong people. Kime is the reason the Cardinals are in the position they are in. Lousy picks. Lousy moves, lousy hiring. He got to hire two coaches. GM should never get that many opportunities. The first coach he fired after 1 year. I want you to put this in perspective. He hired a coach that coached a 4-3 and then drafted guys that played a 3-4 and then told a coach that coaches a 4-3, you got to coach a 3-4. And then when he wasn't successful and when the pick he went that he drafted sucked, he blamed the coach. And in between that, he did have time to get a DUI and ask the cop, do you know who I am? So he had a little bit of time on his hand. So he's the reason the Cardinals are where they are, and they're going to need time to dig out of that hole. But the one thing he got right was Kyler. And if you look at Kyler's stats, and I'm not one of those analytical stat geeks, but if you look at Kyler's stats and look at what Kyler's done with this team, there's no reason why you move off of him. You don't move off of him. And this is not to insult these other quarterbacks, but he's not Baker. And I understand why Cleveland had to move off of him. He's not Daniel Jones. I understand why the Giants need to move off of him. He's not the kid with the Jets whose name Wilson, why they want him, why they basically brought in a 39-year-old quarterback who goes in the dark rooms by himself. Sounds a little sketchy to me, but whatever. I can understand why certain teams move off the people that they have. I get that. That's not the situation. Stick with Kyler. But I promise you I would tell you the place that I would trade him to or make the attempt. And if I was this team, I would try to do it. The Pittsburgh Steelers. If I were the Pittsburgh Steelers, I would be on the phone with the Cardinals as soon as the season ends trying to get Kyler Murray. Pickett can't play at all. I don't want to hear about intangibles. I don't want to hear about his last drive, because if he had 8 drives that worked before that, it wouldn't have had to come down to the last drive. He is not good. Tomlin has a way. Listen to me very carefully. Mike Tomlin can show up at a party with 50 people and one small pizza, and everyone will eat and leave full. He can do that. That's what Mike Tomlin does. He gives you hope where there isn't any, because that's a team that's 5-3 that has not outgained one opponent all year. He does it because he's that good of a coach. But his quarterback sucks. And he's not going to come out and say, our quarterback sucks. He's never going to do that. He's going to keep building that guy up. But we know small hands can't play football. We know that. So Kyler Murray would be my first move. He's mobile. He can pass from the pocket. If you have offensive line deficiencies, he can mask them for you until you get better. They already have one really, really good receiver and another young receiver that looks like he's really, really good, but they can't get the ball because their quarterback can't pass it to him. Oh, I'm sorry. I've already said he can't play like 5 times. So let me say it one more time and maybe it'll stick then. He can't play. He's not good. Perfect spot for him, if that's what you're going to do, if you're going to trade him. Pittsburgh and the Cardinals would be the perfect, perfect marriage. A little more about football before we jump to the NBA, and then I give you your favorite sec. I get messages all the time about the picks of the week. Sometimes I miss a couple. I'm human, right? But more often than not, I put a little change in your pocket. But before we do that, I promise you that I talk about this game tonight. The reason we're going to do it and get it out the way, because this will be the shortest segment of the day, the Bears versus the Panthers. I've already told you, go shopping with your wife tonight. Clean the garage. Wax your car. Set your toenails. Do whatever you have to do to get out of watching this game. And this comes from a diehard Bears fan. And I'm not even talking about the Panthers, because outside of their quarterback, please go out of your way to name 3 other people that play for that team. Nobody cares. Out of all the perfect games to be on YouTube or Prime or whatever they're putting it on, I would rather use my Amazon Prime to shop than to watch this game. It will be uneventful. The Bears head coach, in 3 questions, changed his mind. Eberflus literally said, we don't know what's going to happen with Justin. He's progressing. We'll make that decision tomorrow. No, he's not playing. And 3 consecutive questions. He went from evaluating to we'll see tomorrow that he's not playing. And something that is happening in Chicago, which I think is absolutely insanely stupid. And you could tell me that I'm going way out on this one. I don't care. The Bears are leaking bad information about Justin Fields. Trust me on that. Because if you watch a Bears game now, you hear national announcers who fly in on Fridays, meet with the team, and do the game on Sundays for national games, saying stuff like, Pageant or Gadget or whatever the hell his name is doing stuff that they just didn't see Justin Fields do. Huh. He's doing this great. Justin could emulate that. Justin could do. If you let Justin Fields play football, I think Justin Fields has shown you that he can play football and that he can play football at a high level. Listen, there's a reason why there's D1 players, D2 players, and NAIA or whatever players. Yes, if you can play the sport well, you can make it at any level. That's been proven. But it's also been proven that 90% of the players that do outstanding in the pros come from D1 schools because of the size, the speed, and they're playing against other pros, not dudes that are going to be working at Dick's Sporting Goods at the end of every preseason. There's a reason why. And we need to stop pretending like there's not a reason why this happens. when film gets out on guys, it changes a lot about how they see things and how we see them play. Now, tonight, the Bears should win that game. The Panthers are a train wreck. And if you're saying a Bears team that's 2-7 isn't a train wreck, playing a team that's 1-7, or I guess the Bears are a two-car train wreck and the Panthers are a five-car, I guess that's the best way you can put it. But there's a difference. And I don't like the leaking. And I've been heard that it's – I've heard from a couple people, really good friend of mine, is over at does a great show. You should check him out. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Chicago Sports Zone. Credentialed member. Not going to throw his name out there because I won't, but I've given you enough already so you can figure it out. He said that's not the case. Bears are not doing that. Everything is upright and upstanding. Love this guy. He's my guy. I don't believe. I believed him when he first told me, but now it's starting to become too regular. And really, no one listens to Boomer Esiason anyway. But when he says it, and when Chris Collinsworth says it, that's starting to sound like leak to me. But anyway, we'll get back to that game when we pick it. Again, I said I spent a couple minutes on it. I went more in a couple minutes. So we're going to transition, talk a little basketball, a little NBA action. We get into the Suns. But I heard something last night which was outlandish. Actually, I heard a couple days ago. LeBron is now crying because he's not getting fouls called the way he feels he should be getting fouls called. Okay. Every star in the NBA gets star treatment. That's a fact. Jordan pushed off. Patrick Ewing traveled. Curry double dribbles. LeBron travels. Everybody does something. Every star gets star treatment. They get calls that other guys wouldn't get. They can lobby for calls that other guys couldn't lobby for. Draymond Green should have two technical fouls every game with 3 minutes gone in the game. He gets more leeway because he's a star. Luka Doncic should be suspended every game for arguing refs because he argues every call. But when you're a star, they pay to see you, not the refs. And so depending on who you are, you get more calls. LeBron James, I could show you videos where guys were 3 feet away from him and he got those calls. As you get older in any sport and you're, I don't want to say your importance to a league because that's unfair because he still is the top dog, but the league is shifting, I guess is the best way to say it. So some of those easy calls that he would get, he's now being told to play through it. But he still gets his majority of calls. But whining about it, game six of the season is not the time. Save it for the playoffs when it really matters. When your coach in between game one and two talks about how you used to get beat up, and the refs, then their ire's up and their dandruff is falling everywhere, and we know they're going to make the calls. We saw Phil Jackson do this every year with the Bulls, and Jordan would go from shooting 4 free throws to 12. We saw him do it with the Lakers. Kobe's go from shooting 4 free throws to 12. LeBron, when you argue that you're not being reffed correctly 6 games in on a team that's already 2 games under 500, you're going to get a lot of deaf ears. I actually heard someone say something yesterday, which I found very, very interesting. LeBron came out and had a statement the other day that said even if he didn't go to Miami, he still would have been great. His numbers still would have been great. He still would, you know, do everything, accomplish everything with points, assists, steals, everything. And what this person said made a lot of sense. He said, because of statements like that is why we love Jordan more. Because it appears, and it could be false. It cannot be true at all. But it appears that LeBron plays the game for LeBron. He plays the game for his stats, his legacy, his placement, and all that other stuff. especially since The Last Dance came out, Jordan comes off as playing the game for the game, for what he leaves it. Even though he yelled at the next guy, he yelled at them to make them better. LeBron is not known to yell at guys like that. We know that. And that's fine. That's his style of leadership. And guys say they would prefer not to be yelled at than yelled at. But Jordan did it for a different reason, the way it appears. They are both iconic people. Why is it one of them hasn't bounced a ball on a professional court in 20 years and still outsells the other one in gym shoes like 60-1? That's not a coincidence. It is okay not to be like, there are some times you can try so hard to tell people so much, you don't envy someone that you're better than them, but every time they look up, you're emulating them. They wore 23, you wore 23. You leave 23, but you go back to 23. They make Space Jam, you make Space Jam too. Everything they do, you follow in it. But then you say, I don't want to be him. Yeah, you do want to be him. But where you want to be him the most is in the court of public opinion. When Michael walks in a room, the room stops. When LeBron walks in the room stops until Michael walks in the room. And then the attention shifts. When they announced, I think it was the 75 greatest players in Cleveland, LeBron got a crazy ovation. That's home. And then Jordan came out. And it was completely different. Young players, old players, everybody converged on it. In your hometown. I get it. That gets old. I get it. But sometimes the narrative is written based on the information that's been given. You've given the words to the narrative. You got to now live up to it. When you say stuff like me and I, people look at me and I. Never once did you hear, ask Michael who's the greatest player of all time. Yes, Michael thinks he's the greatest player of all time. Of course he does. With that ego, you don't think he does? But every time you ask him, what does he say? Not up for me to say. Every time you ask LeBron who's the greatest, oh, I am for sure. It may be true. I don't think it is. It may be true, right? But when you claim that, it turns all those eyes on you, and then it opens you up. If you don't like the narrative, stop giving the words to the book. And that makes your life a whole lot easier. All right, everyone. You know what that music means? It means it's time for me to put a little bit of money in your pocket. This is one of my most fun segments. I hear a lot about it. The best part is, like I said, I'm at Maduro's, and there are a bunch of degenerates that are in here that bet football all the time. And I listen to their picks, and I love it because every now and then they'll ask me what I think of a game. So I try my best to help them out as much as possible, as long as I try to help you out. There are certain games I try to tell you to stay away from. Please listen to me when I tell you to stay away from those games. With all that being said, let's get it started and start tonight. Yes, this is one of the few games the Bears should actually win. They are favored by 3.5. I said win. I didn't say they were going to beat anyone by 3.5 points. Unfortunately, they are playing the Panthers. If you're doing one of those pools where you bet like 1 through like 12 games and you put points on who you think will win, make this like game 10. Take the Bears and the points. Cross your fingers. In a game that should not be played in Frankfurt, but should be played in Siberia somewhere, the Patriots are playing the Colts at 7:30 in the morning. If you wake up to watch that game, you have issues. But I would take the Colts. They're favored by 2. New England is just a bad team. With a bad quarterback, with receivers that can't separate, and a running back that can't really show his talent, because since receivers can't separate, you can play closer to the line. Even with Gardner Minshew as quarterback, go with Indianapolis and the 2 points. Bengals go down to Houston to play the Texans, and the Bengals are rolling. They are scorching hot. But don't sleep on the Texans on this game. They got it right at quarterback, and they have players. It's not like Stroud is doing everything by himself. Nico Collins is catching everything, and that team looks good. Do I think the Bengals will win? Yes. Do I think they will cover 6.5? No. So take the Texans and the points on that one. Vikings and the Saints. Maybe their quarterback actually knows the names of his players. And check this out. Maybe they know his name. Maybe they won't call him Lou Dobbs this week. New Orleans favored by 3. The game is in New Orleans. I don't trust Carr to save my life, but I think he has enough this week to help the Saints get past the Vikings. New Orleans is a hard place to play. I'll go with New Orleans and take the points. Jordan Love is not going to get any love from that Steelers defense. Jordan Love is not good. I'm sorry. And if he thinks he can dink and dunk his way down the field against that Steelers defense, he has another thing coming. When was the last time a Green Bay team was a 3-point dog at home against a team that can't outscore anybody? Anybody. They are this week. Now, with all that being said, I still got to circle back to Pittsburgh can't score. They will win the game, but I'm taking Green Bay with those 3 points. The Bucs and the Titans. Will Levis has looked good 2 weeks in a row. This is really a pick'em game, 1 point. Roll with the home team. Go with the Titans. The Buccaneers play well, but they always find a way at the end to lose. Jaguars go to the Niners. Okay, all you Purdy fans, this is where you have to sound off. He is a good NFL quarterback, but he is not that guy that can make things happen when they're not there for him already. So if his tackle is hurt, if he's a wide receiver down, if his running back is banged up, he is not Mahomes. He is not Burrow. He's not Jalen Hurts. He's not one of those dudes that can make up for that with his talent. With that being said, this is my upset of the week. I like a lot the Jaguars going into San Fran and handing them loss number 4 in a row. Take the Jaguars. Who cares about the points? San Francisco favorite. Pick the Jaguars outright to win. Again, my upset of the week. Ravens-Browns in Cleveland. Y'all ever watch Lamar Jackson play quarterback? Like, seriously, really watch him play quarterback? Flick of the wrist, 50 yards downfield. Things break down, he's gone. Track speed, can't catch him. The other side of the ball, great defense. Deshaun Watson, still erratic with everything he does. Still very erratic. Baltimore is favored by 6.5 as a road team. So I want you to visualize this, and here's the best way to do it. Can you visualize the Ravens getting 21 points to 24 points on that Browns defense with Lamar Jackson? Yes. Can you visualize Deshaun Watson then getting 14 to 17 points on the Ravens defense? Hell no. I don't care if it's Deshaun Watson, PJ Walker, PJ Masks, TJ Maxx. I don't care who's playing quarterback. Take the Ravens on the road with the 6.5. Okay, the Cardinals play the Falcons. Oh, wow. Another game to miss unless Kyler Murray's coming back. Atlanta's 2-point favorite at home. The crowd will be late. No one cares about Atlanta sports guys. I'm sorry. They just don't. I do like the Cardinals to perform better with Kyler, but I'm going to go with Tyler Heinicke. I think that's a beer. With Tyler Heinicke and the Falcons favorite by 2, go with them in this game. Chargers, Lions in Detroit. I'm going to do something I thought I'd never say in my life. Detroit is going to manhandle the Chargers. You don't even have to watch this whole game. I know Detroit's favored by 3. They'll cover. But you only have to watch the Chargers play the last, I don't know, 6 minutes of a game. Because they're going to either be up by 2 or 3, down by 2 or 3. And then Justin Herbert's going to find a way to either throw an interception and they'll lose the game, or their defense will give up something big and they'll lose the game. And then they'll come out on Monday, and everyone will come out on Monday and talk about how it's the coach's fault. Well, when Justin Herbert, in tight situations, stops going to the other team, then come see me. Until then, give me the Lions and give me that 3 points. I don't know if anyone ever told you before, but professional football, the NFL, guys get paid to play. You give them a check. Every other week, the 15th and the 1st, they check their accounts, and there's a direct deposit sitting in there, which means on any given Sunday, any team can beat any team until this Sunday. The Cowboys, coming off a bad loss, a good team, not great but good, never have 2 weeks like that in a row. The Giants, who are a bad team, who's starting Carlos DeVito, Manny DeVito, Tommy DeVito, one of the DeVito brothers, are a 17-point dog. Let me repeat that. They're a 17-point dog. This isn't Alabama versus Mercer. This isn't Georgia versus Vanderbilt. These are two teams with pro players that get paid. And not only are the Giants a 17-point dog, they're a 17-point dog at home. Who is a 17-point dog at home? I just said there are teams that are 1-7, 1-8, and they're not 17-point dogs on the road. Here's the saddest part. I'm taking the Cowboys and the points. They beat them by 40 last time. They may beat them by 50 this time. They are a 17-point dog at home. And I'm telling you, take it. Commanders, Seahawks. Seahawks are a 6.5-point favorite on the road against a team that let their two best defensive players go in trade. I don't know about this game. This is the game, when I tell you there are games to stay away from, I'd stay away from this game. But if you are going to bet, Seattle will win, take the Commanders to cover. For those of you that didn't go out with your wife on Thursday night, you have another chance. It's Sunday night. Will the Raiders play the Jets? The Jets somehow are 1-point favorite at home against the Raiders. I know the Raiders aren't very good. They're starting a rookie quarterback. I've waffled on this game a lot. Zach Wilson is absolutely terrible. But that defense at home is really good, and they're playing a rookie quarterback. Because of that, and I have to pick, I'll say go with the Jets and the points. It's a toss-up game. It's 1 point. I believe the Jets defense will do just enough to confuse a rookie quarterback to eke out a win for them. And Monday night, the Bills go to Denver. Y'all know Sean Payton isn't my favorite person. But it seems like he found a groove with Russell Wilson. The Bills are not as good as people think, and their window may be closing. Josh Allen makes a lot of mistakes. People look at me like I'm crazy, but he's a reckless quarterback. Denver, up until 2 weeks ago, couldn't stop water flowing from a faucet if they turned it off. But I think they may have found something. They are at home. I still think Buffalo's better, but I don't think they cover the 7. So Bills to win, Broncos to cover. And there you have it, the picks of the week from PLR and the Cave Show. All right, everyone. Couple side notes before we get out of here, just to get a couple things off my chest. So it's getting to be that time of year where we're busy with everything. Here in Phoenix, we have two bowl games that come here. We have Bear Jackson coming here. Suns are in action, and the Cardinals are still in action. The World Series just wrapped up, and congratulations to the Diamondbacks for having a fantastic season. And I'm not one of those delusional people that, you know, are crying and everything because they lost. They got a lot further than people think they would have, and I think they should be given credit for that. And I think when it comes to sports, we need to be realistic about the way we look at our team. And I've said this a lot, especially when it used to come to ASU. When the season starts in football and I say they should go 9-3, and then they're like 6-3 and everyone's belly aching, then they get to 9-3 and then they feel good. Doesn't matter when the three losses come, you go 9-3, you go 9-3. Think in all honesty that the Diamondbacks would be that good. I didn't think they were a playoff team. I did think they were a fringe 500 team. What they showed was when rules change in a game and you're able to adjust to those rules and those rule changes, that you can do up and make up a lot of deficiencies. A lot of people kept saying it became the mantra, they caused chaos. They did, because they made baseball fun again. They ran. They stole bases. They moved runners along. Basically the way that I grew up watching baseball. I told this story before, and I'm going to tell it again. When I was young, so you know it was a long time ago, I was watching an Oakland A's game. Ricky Henderson walked, stole second, stole third, came home on a ground out. Pitchers down 1-0 because of all the pressure that was put on him just by Ricky being on base. So without giving up a hit, he's down 1-0. Baseball is now learning that following analytics all the way and station-to-station baseball, waiting for a long ball, isn't necessarily the way to go. You have to have a balance. Congratulations to the Rangers because they actually had that balance. And when you are down 3 runs and you can send up a Seager or a Garcia – and they can make up 1 or 2 of those or get all 3 of those runs back on one swing. That comes in handy. And when on the other side, Christian Walker, for a while, was not hitting much of anything. But even when he did start to get on base, there was nothing that was ever really long out the park. And you can't count on Tommy Pham to be your home run hitter. What it showed is that the D-backs are really basically one more starting pitcher and a power hitter away from being a really good, consistent team that plays baseball the right way under a very good manager in Torey Lovullo. And if you've been listening to me for a while, 2 years ago, I said the Cardinals should mercy fire Torey Lovullo because he's too nice of a guy and too good of a manager to be subjected to the talent they were making him play with. In saying that, I apologize to Hazen because his vision was way better than what I could see, and he was putting together the correct team with the upcoming correct rule changes. So all faith is in him to continue doing that. Listen to me. A home run hitter, a starting pitcher, and everyone always needs more bullpen help. You can never have too much bullpen help. That's how close the Cardinals are from, the Diamondbacks are from being a consistent winner every year and playing in the playoffs. So congratulations to them. Very last thing, the Suns need something. When I looked at this roster on paper, I think this team can do well. I'm kind of holding out complete comment until I see everybody playing, until Booker, Bill, and Durant are all on the court together. It's kind of hard to say what they are or what they could be. I will say this, however. All those people, and if you follow me on X, you saw I said this, I don't want to hear cover your kids' ears shit about the Suns need a center that's light on his feet, that can defend the pick and roll, and that can stretch out guards on switches. Because you had him, and you traded him to Portland. And I understand a trade, and it made sense financially because it put you in a better position. It also gave you someone that wants to be there. We all know, we've all been on dates before. I'd rather date a person that wants to be there than date someone that doesn't, and they're staying there because they feel they're obligated. We've all been there. DeAndre Ayton felt obligated to be here. He didn't want to be here. And for those of you, just so you know, cover the Suns again, he didn't want to be here. He didn't feel the Suns treated him justly. He was mad. Instead of saying, look, I don't want to be here, but y'all did pay me $33 million. Yeah, I'm going to go out there and bust my ass consistently every night. That's not his personality. That's not what he did. He pouted like a baby. And you have to get off of that because that becomes cancerous. So with that being said, I understand the trade. But you gave up what you had that did all the things you want. So now don't whine that that's what you want. Because there aren't too many bigs that can play the pick and roll and switch on little guards and be athletic enough to cover, contest shots, but recover enough to block shots. So be careful what you ask for, and then don't whine about it when it's gone. Thanks, Maduros, for hosting. As usual, it's always a blast coming here every single Thursday. Make sure you're following us on social media, on the X. Every time I say that, and I see it, and I'm typing something, I feel like this is X. I guess when you have billions of dollars and you buy something, you can call it whatever the hell you want, but that just seems stupid. Anyway, follow on the X, Instagram, and Facebook at the Sports Cave. Again, Cave is with the K. Remember, if you come down to the girls, let them know the PLR sent you. 10% off of your cigar purchase. Until next time, everyone, be safe, take care of yourself. And don't believe fat people tell you unless you investigate it for yourself. Gabe Show, PLR, have a good day. Temps, bring us home.